And the first speaker is Sungyeong Lee, who will be speaking from the MUST, and he'll be speaking on hydrogen generation via novel supercritical water reformation technology. Dr. Lee.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. Today's talk is about the hydrogen generation, and we have project members, and then including a number of great faculty members, and then mostly in chemical, biological, and mechanical engineering. And the all from MST except one, you know, from the Mizzou. And we have also the outstanding graduate students. Most of the students are from Missouri, born and educated. And again, we have great undergraduate students who are intending to attend the graduate school. And in these days, there is a rumor the best student of a class choose MST, and the second best chooses MIT. Okay, so, and you probably remember that way. We have industrial collaborators, and then from the DRS Technical Service, which is one of the major defense industries of the country. And then now, what is about this project? This project deals with the something very much important for the hydrogen economy. To be more specific, this project and then deals with the on-site, on-demand generation of hydrogen, and then the using the novel process technology, and then that will be used for the mobile electric power generation. So now we look at the hydrogen production. Everybody heard about, and hydrogen is elemental species-wise, and then it is the most abundant species of the universe. And then scientists says that about 75% of the universe consists of hydrogen. However, on Earth, the problem is, and then God gave us the challenge, and then hydrogen does not exist in normal isolated molecular species, and then you normally have to get it out from a compound. Hydrogen comes as the water, and the hydrogen comes as a hydrocarbon in the most of the cases. So there are three basic ways of getting hydrogen out of the these compounds. One is splitting water molecules, and then we just crack open and then get the hydrogen and oxygen. The other one is pyrolysis, cracking the hydrocarbons, and then you can get the hydrogen. But one problem is, in this kind of a situation, your efficiency of getting hydrogen is not that much, because you will share with the light hydrocarbon species as well. And then, if you look at the third one, and then that is more like a hybrid of those previous two. You can see the hydrocarbon react with water. As a result, you can get the hydrogen. This hydrogen, in this case, is like the highlighted as a color blue. You can see hydrogen comes both from the hydrocarbon as well as water. So this actually is more or less of a beneficiating each other. So we may call co-beneficiation kind of process. That's called as the reformation. Okay, so this slide shows all the other energy forms, both renewable and non-renewable, and in comparison against the hydrogen. So all forms of energy and energy technologies can contribute hydrogen generation one way or another. You can help the hydrogen generation by providing the direct thermal energy as well as the electricity for the electrolysis. Or if you look at the some of the solid fuels like the biomass or the coal, you can gasify that, or you can pyrolyze and combine, and then you can generate the synthesis gas, and then you can obtain the hydrogen. And at the same time, and then most abundantly, and then natural gas, and then steam reforming, and then we'll get the hydrogen. In the United States, 95% of hydrogen comes from the natural gas reforming. The other 5% is from the electrolysis. Outside of the United States, the electrolysis and then the percentage is little higher than 5%, more like a 40%. So this project and then this specific talk deals with now the leftover part of the liquid fuels, such as petroleum products or petroleum derivative, or some of the mixed fuels in liquid form, as well as a bio-based liquid fuel. You can convert that into the hydrogen. That's the one, and then supercritical water reformation, the eminently is suitable for that. So you may ask KD and then say, okay, why do we need this kind of technology? The answer is, you can see. As an example, there are lots of systems which require mobile electric power generation. I give you the military applications. So special operations people, they use the highly sophisticated electronic equipment. And then on a battlefield or way away from the home base, you will have to use this electronic equipment for a long time. And at the same time, troops, same way. And again, the tank and even the mobile and the vehicle, just to get the electricity, you just cannot idle the engine forever. So now, why don't we just provide the reformer? That large one, and then for a small amount of kilowatt, that's not the solution. And another one is, how about using the diesel generator? It generates the heat and the noise and fume and exhaust. Our soldiers don't need to tell the enemies where they are at. So those are not the solutions. How about the civilian application? If you have to do some of the major work in remote area, you will need the equipment. There is no infrastructure to help you getting those electricity running. In the natural disaster or any of the disaster or the consequence management, you will also realize diesel generator, that's not the solution, because in the extreme condition, the service reliability is very low. Not only that, and then it requires a very specific type of fuel. Again, when this kind of a situation, a lot of times, and you need the electric power now, not tomorrow. Okay. So that explains, again, a little bit more focused now. Why then you try to convert the JP8 into hydrogen? As we all know, JP8, jet fuel, is the only fuel used in the US military, all branches. So that's why we call that the logistic fuel. To power the communication and tactical information system, and then using the proton exchange membrane fuel cell, you do need the quality hydrogen. So it is very impractical to transport or store hydrogen on a battlefield or any of the base way away from the major fixed installation. So as a result, we do need portable, highly efficient, and very compact hydrogen generation process and device is required. However, not just a simple saying, there are lots of restrictions in the coming work to do the job. Those are the ones. Now we get into some of the specific goals and what we try to do. On-site generation of hydrogen, and then I have mentioned, if that is for the US military situation, the objective is thermal signature problem has to be reduced. And the noise signature problem has to be reduced. Not only that, sustainable operation. Mission endurance time has to be long. And another one is it has to be compact size as a result and reduce the logistic burden of our military. And again, you have to use whatever military uses, not the specific fuel you may want to use. So you have to use JP8. And again, we cannot be picky about the quality of water. Whatever is available, environmentally available water, should be used. Conventional technology does not meet any one of these. However, we believe our technology can meet all. That's the starting point. So how can we accomplish all of this? So that is the word. The name, supercritical water reformation. And then that is our own process. And then we utilize this, the exotic and extraordinary properties of supercritical water. People, you may be very familiar with supercritical fluid. Some may not. And in case you're not, and I can give you the very easy way of remembering. And then whatever is the fluid you have, if that exists above the critical temperature and above the critical pressure, that's supercritical fluid. And then why then supercritical? That's a really top heavy word, I say. That's not exactly super, and it is not that critical. So you take in between, so supercritical fluid, okay? I have a comparison chart between the supercritical fluid versus the ambient water case. The most drastic comparison comes from the supercritical water dissolves the organic material beautifully, such as like diesel, jet fuel, all dissolved nicely. However, supercritical fluid doesn't dissolve the inorganic salt. And then at the same time, the distinction is oxygen mixes nicely with supercritical fluid in any proportion, not with the ambient water condition. So some of those, and we can exploit for our process. If we use this one for the hydrocarbon reformation reaction, the hydrocarbon surely dissolves as a result, and a molecule-to-molecule interaction is intimate. As a result, you can create the truly homogeneous chemical reaction system. That gives us the extra advantage of we do not need catalyst. So supercritical water works as the dream solvent, at the same time highly energized and reactive. So the comparison is our process versus catalytic reforming process, which uses a noble metal catalyst. The temperature ours is substantially lower, and the pressure, it is more condensed, higher pressure, which is good for us because we like to make it compact. And another one is, since we don't use catalyst, there's the catalyst poisoning. There is no need of a pre-desulfurization of the catalyst. And then again, carbon buildup, supercritical water dissolves carbon or coke precursors very nicely. As a result, it provides a longer time or longer opportunity for the reaction to take place. And another one is a gray water or the any of the environmentally available water can be used, but not in the catalytic reformation process. And another one is that this process can be used for the bioethanol, biodiesel, or the ethanol crude beer, and other types of the hydrocarbon-based and the material. And then this is very compact, which is good. Okay, so I will explain some of the process and the experimental specifics. This is the flow sheet, simple-minded, and then the flow sheet and then the, of our prototype. And then you feed, and then fuel, such as ethanol or jet fuel or gasoline, you can put whichever is your choice. And then after heat exchange with the effluent of the reactor, and then you feed into the supercritical fluid reactor. And then what we get is the now product mixture and then coming out. You separate out and then bulk of the water amount and then take the product. And water can be reused constantly. So there is no replenishing of the water that much at all in this process. This picture shows our existing experimental prototype, and then this is a slant, and then we have reasons and why we make that way. But this is an example, ethanol to a hydrogen process. Ethanol crude beer, that means it is not distilled and then used all the energy to get the hydrogen yet. So that means crude beer, which has 8% of ethanol in the aqueous solution, that can be fed directly into this one. We produce this hydrogen peak and methane peak, and then carbon monoxide is very little. Even this one shows in our process, water gas shift reaction is very active. And then this is the reactor piece, and it shows, which is a Haynes alloy 230. Sounds like underwear brand, but this is very sturdy and then good quality, high pressure equipment toy. Okay? So that is the one. And then we also use a computer-based and data acquisition and control. I can run this reactor at home, actually. And I don't think John will let me do that. So where are we in this kind of R&D? And then it's not just the beginning stage, it's quite mature stage. I can give you highlights in 2 pages because I have to get the clearance from my sponsors, so that was the one. So process feasibility, of efficient hydrogen generation was well established on different types of the hydrocarbon-based fuels. This one is totally non-catalytic. No matter how long you operate, there is no degradation of efficiency. The other one is the one we do not need absolutely no pre-desulfurization. You may not realize jet fuel, JP8, has typically in US that is about 900 ppm of sulfur content. And if that is obtained from overseas source for our troops, that can have up to 10,000 ppm of sulfur due to a lot of those stringent requirements of the temperature and the lubrication specification. So this is interesting part, and then we studied lots of this kinetic area, and one thing important thing is a supercriticality is very important. Even if you do the same thing right below at the supercritical condition, the process, the KV's warranty expires, it doesn't work, okay? And then another one is, this one initially in our conceptualization stage, we didn't put that one into the picture. Forward water gas shift reaction, even without any catalyst, goes almost to completion, which is great benefit since it generates more hydrogen. The other one is a product gas consists of hydrogen, methane, CO2, and CO. That's it, okay? There's no acetylene. That is very important part. A lot of other people who use the reformation process, they use trace amount of acetylene that actually pass through lots of those pressure swing or pelagic membrane and then passes into the PEM fuel cell. That we don't have any acetylene produced. We have all mechanistic backing as well. Okay, the process can be operated with air or without air. So we can duplicate or compare directly against the autothermal reformation. And again, our prototype has been designed and fully operated way over 500 hours. So now, what is next? Next is like this. We're currently in the process of a third generation reformer design. From first generation reactor to second generation reactor, we had a 2.5 times of efficiency increase. Obviously, process is getting more mature. We don't get that miraculous improvement, however. And then we are working on the energy integration, and then we have a good idea of hydrogen purification, which is better than the PSA, better than the halogen membrane, and then we have good confidence. We are continuously working on the fuel flexibility demonstration, and next stage is integration with the microgrid system. So who's sponsoring this program? The program has been long been sponsored by U.S. Army RDCOM, our product name is Dr. Du Bois. And then DRS Technical Services, our industrial collaborator, one of the major defense industry, has been working with us daily and weekly. And then U.S. Department of Transportation. And then the current and a little bit of immediate future work is also sponsored by Leonard Wood Institute. So I'm done, and thank you very much. If you have questions, I'll be.